Hello and welcome. Roni's Own Media and RoniesOwn.com proudly present the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show. Hi there. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And the address to our forum is forum.onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our blog web address is aclosereloukouat.roniezone.com, and our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. Thank you for listening, connecting, and interacting with us.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast. My name is Jeff Roni, and you are?
Colleen Roni.
And some very exciting news. And
yeah.
We got season two.
We do have season two.
It's official.
Sure. It's official, and it's for sure. Which, I'll be honest, I never doubted it.
But
it is still exciting to hear that it's official.
There were some false starts out there, some little things here and there, and I didn't want to jump the gun, but it is official,
tweeted by
Adam Horowitz and Jane Espenson.
Yep.
And
ABC.
Now the known world, so.
Yep.
But it's very exciting.
Mm-hmm, it is.
So all the stories and all the twists and turns now continue.
They do.
So it's fantastic.
They do indeed.
Plus, I'm going to get my money out of onceuponatimepodcast.com.
Yeah, we will.
That's fantastic. So, anyway, great news, fantastic news.
Yep.
And I've been over the moon, but now I've had a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And we've watched an apple red as blood again.
Yes, we have.
And now I'm kind of mellowing into the show.
Well, and mellowing into, it's almost bedtime too.
Right.
So.
So we rewatched the episode, and I showed you the scene from The Heart is a Lonely Hunter.
Yes.
When Regina was going down into the
mausoleum.
Underneath the mausoleum.
Yeah, to where the heart vault was.
And you had an idea that.
Well, right. Because from Apple Red as Blood, when she and the Hatter went down into the dungeony place wherever they went, the cobwebby filled place, I thought for a minute it was the same room as where she went to go to the heart vault, but it is not the same room. Now, that's not to say it couldn't be an offshoot of that same room or the same area, but then again, it could be anywhere at this point.
Yeah, to be fair, we never really looked too far to the left.
Right.
She went straight into the curtained area where the heart vault is, step back out, and the camera pointed more to the right. But the room that was in an apple red as blood, looking from where Jefferson was in that floor to the right, there was a window above and all that.
Right. Well, and the floor was very intricately patterned in apple red as blood. So
if it was, I don't think it was the same room.
No, I'm pretty sure it's not the same room.
Because this room obviously is underground.
Right. Well, they both were.
And so there's no way that sun could get through there. And it looked like sun to me, looking through some kind of window.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. I saw the sunlight too. But I mean, at the same time, if it was a basement window, the sun could still shine through there. So it's subterranean. Both rooms were subterranean. Just one had a window and one did not.
Skylight or something.
Right.
So a couple of things I noticed is we did hear again the phrase, figure it out.
You figure it out.
So Mary yes. Margaret said it to Emma. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the section at the beginning, that I watched it again, and it kind of pulled me into the direction of maybe that's what happened to the Queen of Hearts. I don't know. It was definitely a beheading.
Yes.
And
well, not so, necessarily. The Queen of Hearts herself may not have been beheaded.
But
she likes to behead people. That's the normal story. So that's kind of where I kind of went with
that. I mean, then in the exact flip side, you know, maybe Regina was beheaded. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So, I mean, that's the other option.
Or maybe she almost was. Who knows?
Right.
Who knows?
So
there were other things about this episode that actually reminded me a lot of Sleeping Beauty, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, the fairies, they were multicolored, like the pink, green, and blue fairy from Sleeping Beauty.
Mm-hmm.
And they were very, you know, small, of course, and that was that whole thing. And they kind of flitted around like the fairies did.
Right.
The other thing that came up in my head was that when Archie was talking to Emma about taking Henry and how she had no case, he said, I think all you've done is wake a sleeping dragon.
Right.
Sleeping Beauty, yep. Dragon. So
And Maleficent. We have not seen her in a while.
No, we haven't. Where is she?
She did not die, I don't think.
We don't know.
So,
and at this point in time, she wouldn't have been dead anyway.
There is all...
This is pre-curse.
Right. And this is all within the framework of what I've been saying for a long time. What we've been talking about
mm-hmm.
is the dragon and the pilot
right.
flying out ahead of the curse. Was that Maleficent?
Yeah. Yeah, it's possible.
So, again, just kind of... throwing in that all out
yeah,
there.
Yeah.
And I missed mentioning that we saw the Cap Man again.
We did.
The Cap Man is there.
Cap Dude.
So, anyhow.
Yeah.
Was there anything else?
No, but maybe as we go along, I'll think of something.
Okay. We're kind of tired,
mm-hmm.
but we have a number of voicemails, so we will soldier on. So, here we go. And we may yawn. Sorry, it's not you.
No, it's not.
It's never you.
It's been a long week.
Right. So
it's been a long
week. We are excited, though. I don't want anyone to say, oh, Jeff and Colleen, right after the season two was announced, you didn't seem excited at all. We are excited.
We are excited about it.
We're just tired.
We're just tired. And, so, and like I said, I kind of already suspected it anyway. So I just, anyway.
Well, wow. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Jess and Colleen. This is at KA Bienvenue on Twitter. Love listening to the podcast all the time. This is actually my first time calling in, so don't mind if I'm a little
ding, ding.
Anyways, there's like two things I kind of wanted to run by you. The first one is my idea about all these rumors about who's going to die in the final episode. I kind of have this feeling that it could be Henry, but that's because his death is the only one that would make really good sense. It would be able to push both characters of Regina and Emma along so that it can actually lead to something next season. And if they do, it could be more of maybe he takes a bite out of that apple turnover or whatever it was in the trailer and he collapses and he's actually in a sleep. So, which would make both Regina and Emma feel guilty. And then also, I have a feeling of how to break the curse might actually be maybe Bay actually has, like, they have to find Bay instead of destroying Regina, because Rumpelstiltskin is the one who actually started the curse, and the curse was actually formed to find Bay in the first place. So the only way to actually break it would probably be finding him in the first place. So yeah, those are my ideas. Once again, yeah, I love the podcast. Love you guys. Can't wait to hear the next one. Evil Regal on, guys. Bye, everybody.
It's representing.
Yeah.
Representing the Evil Regals. Okay.
Nice. Well, thanks for the voicemail. That's awesome. First
time. Thank you very much. And thank you for it. It is kind of nervous. A lot of people say it's nervous to call, and it is. But just relax. Everything's fine.
Yes. It's all good.
You know, just, but these are great, great points.
Yeah. No, they really are. They really are.
So, lots of rumors, and they have done this before.
Sure, sure.
Someone will die.
Sure.
So, did you have any thoughts about kind of what you think is going to happen? We know for sure
Henry's in a sleep. We know that for sure. So, what, I mean, I hope they don't decide to destroy us all by killing Henry up front, which they did with a couple of characters like they did in Lost, like they've done in other shows. You know, beloved character has to die, and you just go, what the heck? So I'm hoping they really don't. What I do think might happen is for Emma to believe, she may have to, for Henry to wake up, I think she's going to have to, which we saw in the trailer, which literally brings me to tears every time I see that, is she cries and says, I love you, Henry. Mm-hmm. And that just is like, yeah, I'm going to try and maintain so I don't start crying right now. Because it breaks my heart.
I know.
So I don't know if she's going to have to kiss him. Because what's truer love than a mother's love for her son? So that's a possibility. That may be what will wake him up. But she won't necessarily think to do that right away. So that's what I'm kind of thinking is he may stay in this coma for a while. That's what I'm worried about. Now, as far as her second theory about finding Bay, I totally agree with that. That she's right. That was the reason the curse was even invented in the first place. That's why Rumpel created it, was to find Bay. So in order to break the curse, maybe they have to find Bay, and maybe it's Emma that's going to find him somehow.
Now, this doesn't sound like Lost at all, right? Getting a group of people back together, right? Mm-hmm. Finding people,
right?
That kind of a thing.
Right, right.
Okay. Just laying that out there on the table. All right. So, great points.
Yes.
The thing I wanted to say was that Henry could die, or they could do another mirroring and have Henry in a coma, like David Nolan,
right,
for a long period of time,
right,
but have someone, maybe Rumpelstiltskin, give Emma the key to it. Say, well, do you know how to wake him up? Well, no. Well, you have to do da 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 da, or do something for me,
right?
Help me find Bay,
right?
Then he'll
wake
up.
That may be the favor. Yeah, that may be the favor.
Well, there you go. So that's probably it. Or
right.
You know, it's a stretch here, but maybe she will die in his place as a sacrifice.
Possibly.
Okay. So, but I think that's a long shot. I don't think she's going anywhere.
No. And we know that Regina won't kill her because that will break the curse. So Regina will do anything she can to make sure she doesn't die.
Right. And I totally understand you're going by the rules, but I often think about the story.
I think that's what we're going to see this next season is Regina believes that by Emma dying, the curse will be broken and she will do anything to prevent the curse from being broken.
Yep.
Therefore, she will do anything in her power to keep Regina, to keep Emma safe, I mean.
Yep.
So that's what I think. Now, whether that's true or not, that's a whole other ballgame, but I believe that's her motivation is she wants to keep Emma alive. She's going to do whatever she can to keep her, alive.
Okay. Where do you think Bay is?
I don't think he's in Storybrooke. Well, I don't know where.
Okay. I mean,
but you know where he might be, which would make a lot of sense from a lot of perspective? Phoenix.
Right. Or Tallahassee.
Possibly. I'm going with Phoenix only because from the poetic reason.
Right, right.
That's where Henry was born, number one, number two. And I don't know that I buy into the whole he's Henry's dad. He might be. I don't know. I haven't quite formulated.
Balefire.
Right. Balefire is Phoenix would be the one, the Phoenix rising out of the ashes. That's another thing, rising out of the ashes. So, possibly.
I'm going to play this voicemail. Oh, I'm going to wait to play this one.
Oh.
This one's different.
You're a tease.
I know. Here's the next voicemail. Now, okay, really fast. This is our good friend Dave from Michigan.
Okay.
And I have to tell you really quick is the translation that Google does to these stinks really bad. Okay, so the first line in this is stage of untalented permissions. Now, listen to what Dave says at first.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. Dave from Michigan, at SkullDude on Twitter. And I am calling for a couple of things because I just listened to the First Reactions podcast from you and another source, and this show was so epic. I can't wait for next week. I'm sure next week will be everybody's favorite episode because it's going to be the last one we see for 3 or 4 months, which is going to suck. But there will be no competition to it for a while either, so that will definitely be everybody's favorite show. But I have two things I wanted to talk about before I go rewatch with my friend and actually take notes this time. The first one that you guys didn't mention on the show was Mary Margaret's smackdown of Emma as the first time she acted like a mom instead of a friend or a sister or a daughter.
Well, we did.
We did.
We did mention
we did.
It.
And he acknowledged that. I had a little conversation with him on Twitter. And he did acknowledge that he was possibly scolding children at that time and wasn't thinking. But he acknowledged that, yeah.
Okay. Let's keep going. Take it away, Dave.
And just drips into her. I thought that was great. I thought it was really showing that they're evolving into what they really are. The other thing is a prediction that I have. You know, we've seen from the beginning, we've seen the course of Mary Margaret and our Prince Charming and Snow White meeting, and then all the stuff they've been through all the way up to the moment where they kiss, and he saves her, and they're together. And I think that next week, we're going to see what happens afterwards, where they're finally together, and they decide to take on Regina. And I think that it's going to parallel the show story of how when Emma tries to save Henry in some way, which I think will be towards the end when they think he's dead, she's going to bend down and kiss him like on the forehead or something and tell him that she loves him. And that's going to wake him up. And I think when that happens, it's going to be a parallel to she's finally going to believe and she's finally going to be willing to take on Regina. Just like when Prince woke up Snow, that's when they decided they were together and they were finally done with all of the trials and were ready to take on Regina together. And so I'm thinking that that's going to be the ending of the episode, is Emma and Henry finally both believing and agreeing and ready to work together to defeat Regina. And that's going to be kind of a game changer for next season. So, love to hear what you guys think. I will call back again, I'm sure, after watching the show a second time. See you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Dave.
And I think he feels as you.
Yeah, I think that the Emma leaning down to kiss him or tell him she loves him. I mean, what other possibility could you have for, you know, truer love? So I think that will be the thing that wakes him up. Whether she does it this episode or not, I don't know.
Right. The one thing I did want to say is that the SmackDown, as you are calling it, actually is the polar opposite of the discussion that Emma was having with Mary Margaret in 7:15. As a matter of fact, it's even, to me, closer, because when Mary Margaret says in this episode, you abducted a child, she said, no, well, maybe. That's exactly what Mary Margaret said when Emma said, you're a stalker. Well, no, well, maybe a little bit. Same thing.
Yeah. Tables are turned now.
Right. And they do this a lot. So
yeah, she said, you know, she said something interesting now that we're talking about that conversation. She said, you're reverting back to the way you were before you came here. And that was, I thought that was really interesting. that Mary's been watching her change.
Now, are you ready for this one?
I think so.
This is pretty cool.
Okay.
There's a lot of cool ones.
Well, of course.
I just want to make sure. Okay, here we go.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is Miranda calling from New York. I love what you guys do with the podcast. I've never even been much of a podcast person, but the show is so good and the podcast you guys do is so good that I just have to tune in all the time. So I don't know if anybody's ever mentioned this before. You guys probably did, but if you haven't, I just find it really interesting how Emma is always talking about her superhuman powers or her superpowers, and I kind of feel that she has some magic in the real world that she's in right now and probably isn't even aware of it, and maybe something to do with actually being able to tell, really be able to tell when somebody's lying or not. Because she keeps mentioning that, and, you know, being that, you know, she went through the wardrobe and, you know, maintained her powers or whatever, I think that, you know, it's something that, you know, I just could anticipate them playing around with that on the show. So, anyway, that's all. You know, I'm sorry if you guys already talked about it already, but if you haven't, please play. And thanks again. Take care.
Thank you, Miranda.
Yes, thanks. And she did mention that again at the end of this episode. That was just, that was heart-wrenching too, by the way. That last scene with Henry was just, ugh, my gosh. We've talked about the fact that, you know, we've gone back and forth. At least I know I have gone back and forth. Does she really have some form of magic? Or is she just kind of saying that, because that's what you say to little kids.
Adam and Eddie keep locking us into this idea that Emma is just Emma.
Right.
She's just the savior. That's it.
Right.
Because when you start thinking about it, just like Miranda's bringing up here, is I have a superpower. Could be a magic. It could be I'm magical.
Sure.
Right. So anyway, it's just...
Well, I mean, look, it's kind of a thing you tell little kids. Little kids, especially, you can tell them just about anything and they believe you, because especially because you can fool them. I mean, do you remember as a child, your dad or your granddad or somebody, you know, basically going, I got your nose.
Right.
And they're sticking their thumb between their fingers and it looks like your nose. And as a little kid, you're like, whoa, how'd you do that? And my dad would do that to me when I was little tiny. And he'd like, before I had a chance to put my hand and touch my nose, he'd put it back. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was the most magical thing ever.
Right.
Because I believe my dad was taking my nose from me. So that's what I'm trying. I go back and forth between she really does have some form of magic, because here's why I could say I could buy into that. Remember the whole vial of pure love that Gold took was from her parents. Mm-hmm. So if somehow that was infused back into her, that's what helped make her in the first place. Here, Mary. Here, Snow White. How about a drink? Drink this.
Right.
You know, if Gold got her to drink that, then, yeah, I could see exactly where she would have magical powers.
So. True. Now, let me take it a step further. And we did talk about this a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Is Emma doesn't believe.
No.
So therefore, Emma doesn't see.
Right.
So if, in fact, Emma was, for lack of a better term, magical, she couldn't see it, quote unquote.
Right.
Or she couldn't see it.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I think Miranda actually is kind of onto something in that there's, you know, you keep saying this over and over, I have this magical power, but you really don't see it.
Right.
And she doesn't really practice it much, or seems to be. But I wonder what she'll look like to herself when she really believes.
Oh, interesting. Well, that's kind of an interesting thought.
I mean, look, I'm going to get philosophical for just a little bit. Females have difficulty really seeing who they are as like maybe their husband or boyfriend or something like that, you know, someone who loves them, sees them for all who they are. But women have difficulty seeing that. They see the flaws. They see this. They see that. And when you look at who you really are, with everything, all the shades and all that taken off, I think you would really be amazed at either what you can be or what you really are. I mean, apart from all the stuff, right?
Right.
So, anyway.
Well, kind of, like I said, it reminds me a lot of Shallow Hal. Shallow Hal was a great movie. Yep. And, you know, the way he saw people was very different than how they actually really looked, because he wasn't looking at the exterior. He was looking at what was on the inside.
You know, and
great movie.
One more, yes, one more weird step, and then we'll move on, is, you know, maybe all the mirrors won't let you see who you are because they're controlled by either Sydney or Regina somehow, something. So anyway, okay, here is our next voicemail.
Cool.
From a good friend on the other coast.
Okay.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen and the deputies. This is, I'm a free dish, and just calling this time because I won't be sending an email this week. I'm extremely busy, and on Saturday I won't be able to make the show. Sad face, I know. So I'm going to give you a little mini rant of what I thought of the episode. It was freaking awesome. So let's face it, my lady was in it, and she looks great. She was totally channeling Ursula with that hairdo, looking fantastically hot. And I just wanted to say that I thought the Mad Hatter was awesome because he came back. But I wanted to point out something that I read on Tumblr. It was a Once Upon a Time confession, and I thought it was really interesting, and I thought I'd point it out. It's about the Blue Fairy and how she kind of helps everybody. She helps Jiminy. She helps a Bellfire, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, and how another fairy godmother helps Cinderella. So if all of these fairy godmothers were helping people in time of need in the fairy tale realm, why didn't the Blue Fairy come to the aid of Regina when she was smaller and having trouble with her mom? Because let's face it, her mom is a, you know what. So I was wondering, like, you know, that's a theory there. You know, I don't know why she wouldn't help Regina in a time of need when she helped everybody else. And I don't really have a lot to say this week because, you know, Regina was... There's nothing to say about Regina. She's perfect in my eyes. Well, I didn't like the scene of, you know, when she was Betty Crockering, cooking away the next Food Network star, making that special apple turnover. Who knew it was going to end up like that? I did have a mini heart attack in the beginning when the dream was going on, but I didn't know it was a dream. But then the heart attack stopped when it was a dream. And I think I kind of picked up it was a dream when Emma showed up with a gazillion of people. They looked like angry trick-or-treaters. But I don't have a lot to say this week, as I already said. So I will see you guys for the final, probably, the following Saturday.
All right, and she did call back. I think I knew it was a nightmare when Regina was, and she did not bring this up, but I will point this out. Mm-hmm. Regina was talking when she had food in her mouth. What the heck?
Oh, see, that didn't make that me so think it was not... a dream. That's, yeah, that didn't make, what threw me and what made me believe it was a dream was when the doorbell rang, she opened the door, and Emma said, "I'm here for you," and she turned around, and the table was cleared. That's when I go, okay, this is a dream.
I also really loved when Regina said, "Miss Vaughn, what are you doing here?" It was just the way she said that.
Yeah.
It was just, it was funny.
Okay. It was very, very funny. Okay, wait, wait. She talked about Jefferson coming back.
Yes.
And I still want to know, where was he?
That's a popular question.
Where the heck was he, and how did he get back?
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, that's a burning question. I don't know if we'll know, but anyway.
Yeah.
And then there was something else she talked about. Oh, yeah, the Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
The Betty Crocker. That was funny.
Yep.
That was pretty funny. Yeah.
Food Network star.
Food Network star.
I'm as funny.
Evil chef. Mm-hmm. Evil chef.
There you go. Can you imagine her having a smackdown with, what's that guy that yells all the time?
Gordon Ramsay?
Yeah. Can you imagine that?
Dude.
Gordon Ramsay run in, start
I think
yelling.
Gordon Ramsay would pee his pants if she came on, because okay. I think she'd scare the crap out of him.
All right. Let's finish.
But wait. No, wait. Okay. Let's finish what she was talking about, because the other thing that she brought up, which was really interesting.
Oh, that's right. The Blue Fairy.
Yeah. Hi, Blue Fairy. Right. So why didn't she help her? Mm-hmm. But here's the thing I'm kind of thinking, is that the Blue Fairy doesn't, she's kind of like Beetlejuice. You got to say her name. You got to call her. You got to ask for the help. And maybe Regina didn't know about her.
Or need it because.
Or need her because.
Cora's magic.
Right.
Yeah.
And again.
Rumpel Stiltskin either, too.
Right. Right. Where were they? They didn't come to his rescue. Yeah. So interesting, you know, why didn't anybody go help her? Maybe because Cora is, you know, because she was one of the dark.
Right.
Magician, witches, whatever you're going to call her. So that's what I'm thinking, you know, again, it comes back to, everything comes back to this. It's very Jedi and Sith, and because she was part of the Sith, obviously.
Well, now Rumpelstiltskin did call someone, but it was Zoso.
Yeah, he did.
Not the Blue Fairy.
Right, exactly. So, exactly. He called Zoso because he knew that was the most powerful thing. I don't know if he even knew about the Blue Fairy.
He didn't know. He did.
He knew about the Blue Fairy after.
Okay. All right.
But did he know about her before?
Got it. Got it. Okay.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So there's and besides, he only knew about Zoso because the beggar, Zoso himself, told him.
Right. I'm kind of willing to bet that Zoso maybe had some kind of dealings with Cora. I don't know.
Very possibly. They had very similar, or if they didn't have dealings, they were either related to each other or they studied under the same master.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there's all kinds of, I mean, there's so many stories to tell, and I just, I can't wait. Can't wait. Yep. It's going to be awesome. Anyway.
All right, let's finish up.
Well, that's a poop. It cut me off. God. And I just wanted to say that shout out to Team 7, Charmings, Snowings, everybody. You know, big love to everybody, and I will see you guys for the final chat that we have Saturday Live the following weekend. So have a good one. Sorry, Don Juanito. No email this week. Catch you guys. Bye.
Thank you so much, Ima.
Don Juanito will be very sad.
He is sad. He is sad. He's out crying right now.
I don't think he cries, except for when Doña Juanita messes with him.
He looks sexy when he cries. He had a manscaping accident 3 weeks ago. He was
really,
yeah,
really,
yep.
Wow. Do we have another voicemail we can listen to right now?
Yep.
Okay, let's go there then.
All right.
Let's get away from that.
Hey, everybody in the podcast. This is Katie from Massachusetts. Also. At K.A. Bienvenue on Twitter. Well, I know this is like 2 days late, but this is something I had written on Tumblr on after Sunday's episode, and I just wanted to like proclaim it to the world, whatever. Anyways, excited that I'm going to do it on the podcast because you guys are awesome, and the show is awesome, and I love all y'all. Anyways, here it is. In the name of our sovereign, the Lady Regina Mells of Storybrooke, it is proclaimed that on this date, the 7th of May in the year 2012, that from henceforth the delectable food known as an apple turnover shall be known as a forbidden fruit turnover. So it shall be said, so it shall be done. There you go. I can't believe I just did that. But anyways, evil regal love to all you guys, all you oncers. I love you all. And I can't wait for the season finale. I'm going to be sad that's coming and kind of disappointed because that means we have to wait all summer long without any once. Oh, anyways, peace. Love you guys. Mwah.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks.
I mean, people are learning things this episode of the podcast.
They are indeed.
The names are changing. It's no longer apple turnover.
No.
It's forbidden fruit turnover. And so big ups to Evil Regals.
Yeah, big ups.
Isn't that a good thing?
Well, I don't know. Normally you say big love, but I just thought, I was like, big ups. What are you, like, playing a game in your head? No. And you're powering up or something?
No way. No way. So big love as always to the Evil Regals and to Lana. She's
pretty epic.
We love her and her acting. Mm-hmm. And it's just so great to watch.
It is.
I mean, even watching back and forth, because like we said, we watched the Heart is a Lonely Hunter. And just to kind of see just the power that she's got. It's really, really good stuff.
Yep.
So.
And that was very amusing, by the way. Yeah. That was fantastic.
So
it was quite the proclamation.
I've never been proclamated, and now I have. So this is amazing.
Oh, you're choking.
Here's the next voicemail.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Jen from Weaverville, and I'm calling to say thanks for doing such a great show. I have a theory, and it may sound absurd, but I think that Henry's father is Bellfire, and here's why. Mr. Gold made the curse to put Fairytale Land here in our dimension to find his son. Plus, he was almost sure August was his son, so Bellfire must be close in age to August. And the other reason is that all things, tie together in fairy tales, and Emma hasn't said much about him. Plus, Henry looks a lot like Bellfire. So I just wanted to put that out there and hear what you guys think about that. And thanks again for all your hard work. You're doing a great job. Bye.
Thank you.
Thanks,
thank you,
Jen.
Now, talk a little bit, because she did send in an email, and I'm going to check for it real
an
fast.
Email? Okay.
Yes.
So, Balefire is Henry's father. It's been bandied about, and there's confusion over, well, yeah, would he be about August's age at this point in time? Because he was 13 when he went through. How much earlier than the rest of us did he go through? But then again, where did he end up? Because Rumpelstiltskin even said going through time and space. Mm-hmm. So time and space. Well, we know the space part is this world, but the time part, we don't know what that means. So we have no idea when, how early, you know, how much more before. I mean, are they hundreds of years older than everybody? Do you know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I'm not discounting the fact that he could be Balefire. He could be Henry's father. He could be. I'm not saying that he's not.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I haven't committed to that theory yet. I think I want to see more information before I latch onto that theory. But it's an interesting one.
Yes. And the email deals with another subject, so we'll read it on Saturday night. All right.
Sweet.
So Dave called a number of times, and I think some of it was about the interview today with Adam and Adam? Right. I put them together because, you know.
You mean Adam and Eddie?
That's right. It's 10 o'clock. It's past my bedtime.
Oh, that's sad.
All right. Let's see. Oh, boy, howdy. All right.
Are you searching for treasures?
Yeah. Yeah, let's move to this one.
Okay.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Mason. Sorry that I didn't get my message in on time, but I had to rewatch the newest episode a little bit, and I noticed that they did a nice tribute to the apple scene from from the animated Snow White. What I like to think is that if the Mad Hatters had is like a time portal, like it could, it seems like it has the same magic as the Bean Mite that took Bellfire. So like it might have, like we see Jefferson's hand grab the apple right as it rolls away. And so whether or not Regina might have saw the apple, you know, her eyes following it and seeing a hand come up and grab it, that would be interesting, because then that would mean Regina foresaw this could have happened, you know. Looking forward to the finale, and that's a great birthday present for me this weekend, even though it's today. But I'm just glad that my birthday present from Once Upon a Time is the finale. So just don't break your TV, guys. Take care. Bye.
Well, thanks. Now,
first of all, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
To Mason.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Now, beside the finale.
Yes.
You also got another gift.
He did.
Season 2.
Oh, yeah. Hi.
So you got a pretty good birthday.
You scored.
So.
Scored big on this
happy
one.
Happy birthday for sure.
Yes, definitely. So, yeah. Here's the thing. When the apple rolled down the hill, it looked like it fell into a hole.
Right.
So did we... So would Regina, from that vantage point, have seen the hand? I don't think she saw his hand unless she was standing right over that hole. That's the only thing I can think of. Just because of the vantage point. It's one of those things where the way they did the camera angles, we saw the apple fall in the hole, and then we saw his hand reach out right at that moment. Mm-hmm. So as it dropped into his hand, or popped up into his hand, or whatever it was, that's just kind of a... But that would have been interesting, because would she have foreseen that? Yeah, I would think she would. But would she know that was his hand?
Hmm. Well, it...
She seemed awfully puzzled by... She needed to get to... Back to Fairy Tale World. So, and when she couldn't, she seemed awfully upset by that. So I'm kind of thinking if she had foreseen it, maybe she would have... She wouldn't have been as upset. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was...
Unless she was playing him.
It was almost like it was a golf ball.
Yeah. A little bit.
And the planning of that mini portal or that hole opening up, it just, bink, just fell right down.
Yeah.
So, and he mentioned the bean, and mm-hmm. that is also very interesting, because the hole that opened up obviously opened down.
Right.
And so did the bean create this little vortex.
Yeah.
And from what I understand, Jane Espenson said in a tweet... is sometimes beanstalks grow down mm-hmm. instead of up. Hmm. So.
Yeah, which, and what was interesting too, is that the bean vortex was green. But this one, if I remember correctly, was kind of a purplish color. The hat is a purpley color.
Correct.
So, interesting.
Yep. Okay. Here is Mr. Dave. Here we go.
Okay.
Hey guys, it's Dave from Michigan. I just saw an interview that Kitson Horowitz did earlier today, and I didn't know if you'd seen it, so I wanted to throw this information out to you guys so you could talk about it on the podcast. But they said, somebody sent in a Facebook question that asks, did Rumpelstiltskin know all along, or when did he learn about it if he didn't? And they said that it was when he first heard Emma say her name in Granny's building. When he said, Emma, it's a lovely name. I myself went back and watched that scene again, and they were planning that from the beginning of it, obviously, because the look on his face, it's like everything hit him all at once, and he paused, and he thinks about it for just a few seconds. It's, you know, now knowing that, you can see it. I think that's awesome that they cleared that up and they clarified that. So I thought I'd throw that out there if you guys hadn't heard that yet. Can't wait for the podcast tomorrow night. Bye.
Cool.
I had not heard that.
Yes. And
so that's cool.
What I thought was kind of interesting, everyone was saying, okay, hey, watch it live, watch it live. And I clicked onto my iPhone. I could watch it.
Oh.
Flash or something.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
So, anyway.
Too bad.
Yeah. So, here is the next voicemail. Here we go.
Hi, Jeff and Colleen. This is Morgan calling again, and I just had a couple thoughts on the latest episode. First of all, I loved the scene between Mr. Gold and Regina. I just thought Robert Carlyle and Lana did a fantastic job in that scene. But one thing that I really wanted to point out about that, when Mr. Gold said something like, a deal involves you giving me something that I want too, and the queen just stands there like she has no idea. And I was just like yelling at the TV, you have Bell, give him Bell, you know, as a hardcore Deary, as I tag myself, I've always really been rooting for Rumpelstiltskin and Belle to get back together. So when she said, oh, there's nothing, or she didn't say, but when she didn't say anything that she had something to give him, oh, she should have just been like, okay, I have Belle do this, and you can reverse the curse, or you can fix the curse, whatever. So that's just my opinion and what should have happened there. And then one other thing that I wanted to touch on, which I touched on in an email I sent you guys a while ago, when the Evil Queen and Jefferson, the Mad Hatter, were talking, and he said that remembering was one of the worst things, that's what I always found to be odd about the Evil Queen's curse, is because she's making all these characters forget, and they don't remember who they are. So really, she is the only one who is suffering, because she is the only one who remembers all these terrible things that have happened to her when all these other characters are living in complete unbeknownst, you know, can you forget something that you don't remember? They kind of touched on that in Heart of Darkness, I believe it was. But that was just a couple of my thoughts. I'm having a really busy week. I'm graduating from high school this weekend, so hopefully I'll get time to listen to your guys' episode. And I really, really cannot wait until the season finale. I'm so pumped. Thank you guys again for putting on such a great show. It really means a lot to have something that I can go back to every week and, you know, listen and laugh along with. Big love to everybody. Once again, thank you guys so much.
Well, thank you, Morgan, so much.
Thank you. And congratulations on graduation.
Congratulations.
Wow.
Yeah.
I kind of feel a little old right now.
Well.
But that's okay, because she's a very sweet young lady.
Absolutely.
And very, very well spoken for a high school senior. So.
Our future is bright.
It restores a lot of faith in humanity for me right there. No, I probably should have my Deary card revoked for this. I completely forgot she had Belle. And I do agree with her. She should have, if she were smart, turned around and said, oh, I do have something you want.
Right, right. That's what I was thinking, too.
Ugh.
Is that would have been a great card that she could have played. Now, Morgan was saying that he didn't ask because he didn't...
Well, because he doesn't know.
Right. But she could have...
She could have volunteered.
Kind of sealed the deal.
Well, yeah, because he said to her, he said, you know, in order for us to make a deal, both parties have to be interested, and you, frankly, don't have anything I want.
Right, right. Now, what's interesting is he... Once he found that out, he could make a choice.
Oh yeah,
love or family.
Right.
And that would have been
crazy hard too.
Right. And let's say you couldn't choose both.
Well,
so
yeah,
a bit like the Dark Knight.
Right.
You could save one or the other, but not both.
Right.
Because normally people would say, "Well, I want both." You can't have both.
You can't have both.
One or the other. So
yeah.
Anyway.
No, that was great.
Yep. Yep.
Fantastic. Fantastic.
Excellent. So, Mr. Dave, here we go.
Hey, Jeff and Colleen. It's Dave in Michigan. I'm calling with two theories that I'll do over two phone calls to make sure that it doesn't get cut off. My first one stems from something I learned taking a film class in college, was that it was said by many different directors that if you see a gun on the shelf in the first act, you can assume that it will be used before the end of the act. Before the end of the show. It got me thinking about something.
Case in point, The Artist. Continue, Dave.
Yes.
Why did they make a point of us knowing that at one time Maleficent had the curse? My theory is that's going to be the game changer. we're going to find out that during the time she had the curse, she had it modified for herself. And Regina's not going to be the big bad in season two. I think we're going to see a little bit of a redemption of Regina. And then in the last, you know, the last 2 minutes or something, we're going to see Maleficent come out and rear her head as the really big bad. I mean, because if you think about it, in everything that they do where they have people together from different shows, Maleficent has always been the overarching bad guy, the one who tells all the other bad guys what to do. And in the most recent episode, I can't remember who said it, but someone told, I think it might have been Gold to Regina. He said that, you know, doing this curse awoke a sleeping dragon. Well, Maleficent was a dragon. So I'm just thinking that that might be the game changer, since there's got to be something going on. And I just wanted to hear your guys' opinion on that. And truthfully, I would love to hear what I'm a Freebish and all of the other evil regals would think if Queenie wasn't the big bad in the next season and she was a supporting character who was on the path to redemption. All right, I'll call back in a second with the other one.
Well, Dave, we'll just give them your phone number. They can call you. Man, Dave, don't turn the wrath of the evil regals on me, brother. What's wrong with you?
No, okay, so...
We got love for everybody, but, so, you know.
So, okay, so to talk through this. Okay, yeah, I think we may see Maleficent. I did pick up on, like I said earlier, especially the second time through watching it, the sleeping dragon piece. There were actually two other things about the show I just remembered that were very Sleeping Beauty-like. One was the we talked about the fairies already, but then there was the when they were throwing the fairy dust on the knights, the guards, the way they fell was just like they did when the fairies did the sleeping curse on everybody. So,
okay,
yeah, that reminded me a lot of Sleeping Beauty, and I kept saying, Sleeping Beauty is kind of the theme, underlying theme here. So,
yep,
it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Sleep, apple, sleep. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Justin Colley, it's Dave from Michigan again with my second theory. I'm wondering about something. How much does Regina love Henry? Does she love him enough to tell Emma the truth when her kiss isn't enough to wake him up and she realizes that the one who truly loves him is his mother? Does she love him enough to forego her own happiness and tell her about the curse, about the cursed apple, and tell her that she has to be the one to kiss Henry to wake him up? Just one of those things I was thinking about that could be the really holy crap moment at in this episode of a reveal, because I'm sure there's going to be like 80, but that would be the one that would get everybody talking. You know, besides the ending, that's obviously going to have everybody talking. But that's just my thought and opinion. I wonder what you guys thought about that idea. I think that's it. I look forward to hearing the podcast on Thursday and the live show on Saturday. And then, holy crap, the last episode for quite a while on Sunday. Have a good one, guys. Bye.
Thank you, bro.
Thanks.
So, yeah, the kiss, the mom's kiss.
Yes. It will be interesting to see how that plays itself out.
Yeah.
It really will. So, I don't know. We'll see.
It could play into what we're talking
and
about.
And literally, I'm going to kick myself. Maybe you can help me figure this. There was something else in Morgan's email, or her voicemail, that we didn't really touch on, that he just sparked, and I can't remember what it was now. It's driving me nuts. So I'm sorry, but if you can kind of help me figure it out, what did he just talk about? The last few things he said.
Okay. Want me to play it again?
No, just if you can kind of read through the transcript, if you can find any pieces of it that might trigger something for me.
So, it's just Emma kissing Henry. That's it.
Right. Right before that, though.
Okay.
What did he talk about right before that?
That's a mother's love. And we've kind of touched on that before.
You mean
in the one before? I think we got it.
No, it was in this last one anyway. All right, I'm going to have to... Yeah. Okay. We'll have to maybe address it on Saturday.
Okay.
Unless I can remember it.
I think you're too tired.
You know what? I've got so much stuff going on in my head right now. But it was something that Morgan said in her voicemail. It was really brilliant. And I was like, oh, it was such a revelation. And I can't think of what it was.
Okay.
Dang it.
All right. Here we go. Two more voicemails.
Hi, Colleen and Jeff. It's Karen in Maryland. I have two items for the Did You Notice file. First item is, did you notice how red that steak was that Regina was eating in the opening scene? Yeah, it's kind of gross. And I thought, what a perfect visual on how she eats people alive. Second, did you notice is Henry wearing a lap shoulder seat belt in the VW? They didn't have shoulder belts in 1965 VWs. At least I don't remember them. My dad had one. Anyway, that's it. Two things for the Did You Notice file. Take care. Bye.
Well, thank you much. And yeah, the meat was gross.
Yeah, it was very gross.
It was gross.
I just remember Morgan's thing. Sorry, I need to say this right now.
All right.
Then come back to Karen, the rest of Karen's email. The point that Morgan made, which was excellent, was that Regina's whole curse was to make everybody miserable.
Mm-hmm.
And yet all it did was put everybody to sleep.
Right.
Which is, again, another Sleeping Beauty reference. But she's the only one who's miserable.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. And that's brilliant because it's absolutely true. And at what point in time is Regina going to recognize that they're not awake? They don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not miserable.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. Okay, so back to Karen's thing.
Yep.
So the whole... Sorry, I'm discombobulated today. I can't help it. The meat was disgusting and it was raw. And I was like going, it looked awfully rare, raw. At first I didn't think it was meat. I thought it was something else. And then when I saw what Henry had, I was like, oh yeah, no, that's gross. And it is a good metaphor for the fact that she's basically eating people alive. That's gross. Then the other thing was the whole lap belt. Yeah.
Yep.
The shoulder seat belt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was definitely not in a 1965. Pretty sure they didn't have shoulder belts at that point in time. And if they did, they weren't in VWs.
That's true.
Because I had a 71 Super Beetle at one point in time, and I did not have a shoulder restraint.
I had a Vega. We'll just leave it at that. but they probably had to put that in for safety now.
Right, and that kind of thing.
But good eye, Karen.
Very good eye.
Excellent. And the awful meat.
Yes.
I'm turning vegan. Not for a while, but anyway. Here's the last voice. I'm a carnivore. I can't help it.
Yeah, I know. Me too.
Thanks, Outback. Okay, here we go.
Hey, Oncers. Hey, Jeff. Hey, Colleen. It's Cannon from Napa. Really don't have anything, but I just want to say congratulations. I just saw the exciting news all over Twitter, and just felt it in my heart to just call you guys and just thank you and congratulate you. You guys have done tremendous and phenomenal work and so much support. And big shout out to everybody and the cast and the fans. And we just are so excited. And I know I am too. And you guys are just so dear to all of us. So thank you so much. And again, yahoo! We're excited to see another season coming. So you guys take care, and we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Thanks so much, Shannon. Excellent.
Yes.
And we are excited too, even though we're tired. We're excited.
Yeah.
So season two is coming,
yes,
but the finale is at the door.
I know.
But what before the finale
yes.
is going to be the live show
yes.
Saturday night.
Yes, Saturday night, 7 p.m. Pacific time.
Surprises? Possibly.
Definitely.
So, anyhow, please join us for that, and we will talk to you soon.
Yep.
Arrivederci. Adios.
Yes.
And bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.